The content on this channel is for educational and informational purposes only. Evan and I are just some idiots on the internet just talking about blockchain tokens on the internet. Please do not purchase anything that we talk about. Please consult an actual professional if you make any sort of investment decisions. My professional is actually Evan, so don't listen to him. I listen to him. All right, we're good to go. Thank you, everyone.
Very nice.
You destroy that intro, dude. It's so good now. Nice and smooth.
Yeah, Joseph, you know, been practicing
for
weeks.
You're a blessing to this channel. anyway, gentlemen, very excited to talk to the one-syllable crew here. We got Ace and Boz down below me on either side. These guys are from Kanto, and we're going to talk a little bit about Kanto. There's been a lot of buzz around this project, and I'm curious, I guess, if Joseph's actually the one that introduced me to this project, and I have to say, I bought a bag. The price action has been doing well, but we're not about price action on this channel. We're more about, like, doing the right thing. So that's going to be my angle for you gentlemen today. Hopefully you're good people, and hopefully our audience can deduce as much from this interview. So at a very high level, let's just start. What is Kanto? What do people need to know about it? Is it more than just an Evmos fork like the Futters say it is? What's going on with Kanto?
We're starting from square one today, huh?
Yes.
He needs to be Kanto-pilled because I've already been Kanto-pilled. I'm already off the deep end. I'm wearing a long neck PFP for months now. So would love to hear.
I'm a normie. Consider me a normie.
Yeah. I mean, Boz is a Cosmos technical expert. I think he's the best person to introduce the code aspect, the validator setup, and how that, ties to Cosmos and loosely ties back to Evmos. But high level for me, it's a general purpose blockchain that's built on the Cosmos SDK. It is EVM compatible, so you use your MetaMask the same way you would on Ethereum or any L2 or sidechain. And it's growing like crazy. It's blowing up.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. So I've been in Cosmos for a while. I wouldn't say I'm too technical, but what I will say is that the general purpose blockchain and Kanto's approach, they've optimized a few of the modules relative to Evmos. The cool thing about Kanto that we've seen is its free public infrastructure theme and thesis has caught wind of and has caught the eyes of the general users within the space, particularly Variant, which has created its own thesis around Kanto. And at the end of the day, I support all projects and all teams. So it's not to throw shade at Evmos and the team that's doing hard work there, but Kanto's approach has yielded tremendous benefits when it comes to use cases, organic developers building. And at the end of the day, this is something that I repeat with all these conversations with Ace, is that, you could have whatever project you want and whatever thesis you want, but the market's the ultimate judge, and the market has judged that the EVM chain for Cosmos so far is Kanto. There isn't an EVM, there are a few EVM compatible chains on Cosmos, Kava, Kronos, which is crypto.com's chain, Evmos being another one, but Kanto is basically the kingmaker here.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably useful to get you caught up, Evan, on the launch strategy. It's been in operations, I guess, the chain has been producing blocks since July. And the whole idea behind Kanto is to build, an app chain that governs the core infrastructure, the core primitives, like the DEX and the money market, the DAO. So they have a single token, the Kanto token, that you can stake to earn emissions. You can also earn Kanto through liquidity mining. And the strategy that the visionaries behind it, I don't want to say the team because it really isn't a team. It's a community-owned, a community-contributed project, is they're going to give away the majority of the supply in an aggressive manner in exchange for liquidity. So people bridged early, either stablecoins or ETH or Atom, and purchased Canto or earned Canto by liquidity provision in the DEX. And, you know, the TVL has exploded. I think it's approaching 200 million now. Fun fact, it's probably the lowest market cap chain of anything with as high a TVL as it is right now. So you could say it's still undervalued. But now that all this liquidity arrived, like, people want to do stuff with it. And what's taken off is like this NFT craze. And we can probably talk about that. There's a lot more coming, but, you know, that's kind of where things are at today.
Yeah, I actually saw a tweet from someone today that I shared with young Steph here, who's also a Canto fan. He's done quite a few of the free mints, and he was showing me them today, and then the floor price, and they keep going up, and the Canto price keeps going up, and I'm like, damn, you got this for free? Why didn't Joseph tell me about that? I feel a little bit hurt, Joseph. Thank you. But I want to get back to this something, Boz, you said that kind of caught my ear, was the free public infrastructure thesis. And again, I'm pretty much a normie to Canto, so could you explain a little bit, like, what is that? Is that the unique value prop of Canto, and what does that mean necessarily?
Yeah, Ace actually has documented quite a bit on his blog around FPI. He's probably the best person to give you like a deep dive on it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, really, what the idea behind FPI is we've got a lot of really robust code that's been contributed, you know, in an open source manner by other teams. Compound, for example, Solidly, the DEX, you know, with their you know, stable and volatile bonding curves, and Maker, you know, these are battle tested primitives. And rather than starting from scratch and trying to build something that could have a lot of bugs, could be prone to hacks, you know, Canto decided to leverage that existing code stack. And they've took the position of like, why should we charge fees? Like, this is open source code. It makes no sense to extract rent. This is an efficient way of like doing swaps, borrowing, lending, like extracting additional fees is unnecessary. And you could probably get 100 different answers if you ask, you know, two people what FPI really is. But this is my take. And it's really building an ethos within the community. Like, we want to contribute for everybody on the chain. Like, we're in this together. We're trying to build a strong community that everybody has access to. We want to compete, but we want to make sure that, you know, it's fair. And FPI essentially has become a meme and a theme that has, I feel like, built a really strong community, at least thus far. And hopefully that continues. Everybody has a voice in the FPI setup, which is cool.
I think that the thesis has, it's had the perfect conditions to really grow. Because I just know that, like, for the past several months, like, everyone's been really tired of centralized entities and centralized parties and, like, the issues that we have seen happen because of that. I mean, FTX is probably the biggest one that everyone is aware of and knows has happened. And that's kind of pushing this whole theme of decentralization. And I think that there was a perfect time of window where Canto found itself in the midst of working on a thesis that actually accomplishes that, like, moving away from the old type of experience in blockchain. And I see that Canto is the first one that's actually trying to advance on the Ethereum, like, experiment. And Vitalik himself has actually gone on record and talked about experimenting with free public goods and experimenting with public goods chains. And Scott Lewis and a lot of the other contributors at Canto have come on record saying that this is what Canto is. It's an absolute experiment. For me, it's a fresh of breath air to see an EVM actually coming in with this type of mindset to want to advance on the Ethereum experiment. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we can all agree Ethereum is the dominant smart contract financial layer right now. And for a while now, it's just feel like it's been stagnant in terms of innovation. And I think FPI has been the most, like, interesting narrative, because at its core, to me, what it does, and I agree with Ace, is that if you ask anyone, they're going to have like different takes on it. To me, it increases the ability for people who have the native token of a network to actually contribute to the development of that network and have more intimate control about the dApps and the quality of the dApps that they're using. Because when you run into the Ethereum world, you run into over financialization of basically every sort of utility of like financial primitive that you decide to go use. You have a governance token on Uniswap. You have a governance token on Aave. You have a governance token on basically everything you want to do, even DAI, the stablecoin. That has all been abstracted away from the Canto blockchain and has been embedded into the chain. And it's aligning all of those different parties. You have that opportunity to build a true system of financial primitives that are aligned across the board instead of trying to focus on like the tokenization of those business models through a governance token, removing that rent extraction. So yeah, that's my like huge bold narrative there. And I know that Four Moons has been pretty involved with like the building on the chain. Evan, do you have any questions like after I give my little bit?
Yeah, I guess just still trying to kind of wrap my head around it. Is it does that, so you've got this free public infrastructure FPI as we've acronized it. I guess I'm curious then, if you see more dApps start to be built on top of Canto now, regardless of what they are, does that mean that they would also then use the Canto token as sort of their governance? Or like, is it, how does that work specifically as new primitives start to come on board? Feel free, anybody.
I would say,
yeah, anyone go for it.
Not necessarily. It's sort of to be determined because DeFi hasn't really taken off yet. There's a couple dApps that are out there that don't have a token. I don't want to say yet because I don't know if they ever will, but incentives do matter. And I think, you know, a token is one way of incentivizing people to do things, whether it's provide liquidity or use your exchange or try out your protocol. There's also other ways you can incentivize, you know, that type of activity, CSR, for example, but, we'll see. I think the token itself is there to govern the DAO and the core primitives for Canto. It's possible other teams adopt that mechanism. We'll find out once DeFi gets cranked up.
Can you break down that CSR component? Because that's like something else that I've like been really interested in. And someone in the audience has actually just commented, I think from, I cannot pronounce their name, Nasri.
Nasri just commented.
Who is that?
The boy Pooji. We love Pooji.
Oh, okay. So you've got a fan in the audience. All right. Nice, nice, nice. But yeah, so Nasri comes out here and says that I think CSR would breed a new type of tokenomics. And I fully agree with that. Can you break down? I know you've done a deep dive on your Substack at Etherpy on CSR, and it's a really unique model. It's like a native thing you get to deploy on the EVM module there in Canto. So just would love your thoughts on that and what it does for developers and stuff.
And thank you for pronouncing Etherpy correctly. My I don't think my wife or my mother-in-law can pronounce it the right way. So, you know, you're an A in my book, bro.
Nice.
CSR is, this is another strong narrative right now that's driving, I think, the interest in Canto. But it's just now sort of implemented. Last week, there was an upgrade in the chain code stack, and you're able to direct a percentage of fees to an NFT, and it's going to be, you know, in Canto or potentially in Node, depending on what the actual gas token ends up being. But the higher the transaction throughput on a smart contract, the larger component of, you know, that transaction fee gets directed to the NFT, and that's called contract secured revenue. So if you build a super popular dApp or an NFT contract that just like, or an NFT mint that blows up and everybody wants it, so they trade it heavily, a percentage of that transaction fee is going to get accrued on this NFT. And you know, this is a pretty sustainable way for teams to build good dApps. It's a good way to kind of do a lot of different things with that CSR. Like, do you kick it back to your users? Do you reinvest it into your protocol to keep building and innovating? Do you leverage that NFT to get a loan, you know, for future earnings, like against future earnings? Like, the sky's the limit. It's pretty awesome. And it's funny because there's a lot of other chains now who are trying to do the same thing. Like Phantom is talking about their gas rebate for dApps. Optimism, I think, is talking about it. And CSR was CIP1. So it was the first Canto improvement proposal. It's always been around from day one. And it's actually something you can watch on the chain now. The Plex team, they're the key software developers for the Canto code stack, have built a dashboard where you can actually monitor CSR going to these NFTs, which is pretty sweet. And I urge all new devs and teams building on Canto to implement that in your smart contracts, because you're leaving potentially a ton of revenue on the table if you skip it. So just forking code isn't going to be the best approach to launching a dApp on Canto.
Joseph, can you bring up the link that Boz just sent us in the chat? Actually, I'd love to see the dashboard that Ace was referencing there.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now. Feel free to share my screen.
That's it. CSRPlexLabs.org.
Let me share my screen now. There we go. All right. Feel free, Steph, to pull that up. All right. So this is what we're working with.
Yeah. And this, I mean, the fact that this was launched, what, about a week and a half ago, and we're already seeing not only use case, but transparent revenues on what the contracts are actually doing. The way I look at it is like, this is analogous to like performance-based initiatives. So you have your contract out as your users continue adopting it. Just the mechanics of funneling the revenues back to you in the most efficient way possible, I think is really attractive for devs, especially NFT devs, game devs, DeFi opportunities. So it's really worth monitoring to see how this is going to evolve. Like, this particular experiment, I'm actually really excited about. But again, it's been about a week and a half since it's gone live. So too early to tell.
Yeah.
The metric at the end of the day is they're really attractive. And so far, this experiment's beginning to yield output.
You're seeing that, like, the first, for anyone who isn't familiar with this is going to be like showing you the total revenue that all CSR contracts are actually yielding on the chain. So far, 3,000 Canto has been yielded. That's not that much. I know that in the Substack that Ace wrote on his Etherpy Substack, he kind of did like an estimate of like what it would have been if like CSR were activated. And I think it was pretty good over like the span of 3 months. I think it was in like the $50,000 range or like $100,000 range. I'm not sure. But it was a significant amount. And if you like dig a little bit deeper into this, you can actually go into to see like the specific contracts. The EVM Explorer right now is down, clearly. Canto's been having a little bit of suffrage of some of the key utilities of the network right now. It's just because there's just so much hype around this concept. So many devs are coming. 80 like devs signed up for the Canto hackathon. There's a whole bunch of derivative NFT projects.
It's 150 now, by the way.
150 now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everybody wants that sweet, sweet Canto reward.
Yeah, everyone wants the Canto now. Canto's pumping, so they're interested. And the contract secured revenue is like the first iteration of this. And I think that Canto has a window of time here to really deploy some really interesting stuff and some really interesting models. Even if it is derivative of like, even personally, I think that there is still room for a better version of a GMX to come around. Sure, it's going to take a major upheaval to build something like GMX on like a completely new chain. But I do think that CSR offers like novel opportunity to like innovate on some of the inherent issues with flaws that exist with like the certain dominating platforms on Ethereum and EVMs right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. There's some really important resources required that are not implemented yet, like Chainlink.
Yeah, Oracle's rip.
We need a good Oracle on Cosmos in general. I know that Band seems to kind of have some market share, but you know, people love to trust the tried and true Chainlink, and the Link Marines, yeah. You know,
yeah,
don't touch anything without it.
Yeah, I have a buddy who's just been in Link Marining for years now. He just won't give up.
Yeah, he's probably really happy. So I don't blame him.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the tokenomics. I know you mentioned earlier there's a note token. And again, coming from total Normieville over here, if you guys could just give me some insight on how does the note token work? How does the Kanto token work? Is this another algorithmic stable coin? Is this something we need to be wary of, or what's the difference between the models we've seen in the past?
So it's akin to DAI. It's note essentially is an over collateralized algorithmic stable coin. People get scared by the term algo stable after what happened to UST last year. And, you know, we all have PTSD from that, I'm sure. but it's heavily over collateralized. It's backed by currently stable coins in the Kanto lending market. And you can only essentially mint and borrow note if you deposit USDT or USDC. I think the LP pairs as well. Some of the LP pairs, I need to double check, but they've done a pretty slow rollout of collaterals just because they want to make sure it's stable. There's a lot of demand for note right now because you have to pair note with Kanto to earn, you know, high emissions on the liquidity mining. So it's been over peg pretty consistently for, like, you know, since it started. I don't think I've seen note under a dollar since the chain launched. Which isn't a good thing, necessarily a good thing either, but it's not a stable coin. It is a, you know, floating pegged asset, I guess, around a dollar. But yeah, essentially if you were to combine Compound and Maker, so you can deposit collateral and borrow a stable or you know, algo stable, like that's what you're going to get is note. It is a unit of account, and there's been discussion about, you know, a couple things. One, changing the gas, the native gas token to note, which would require more and more people to borrow it from the, or, you know, mint it or borrow it from the lending market, which would bring in a lot more collateral. There's also, you know, potential for note to be IBC, you know, and some projects and some teams are looking at using Note as, like, you know, their NFT mint token. So we did that with Dead Ends. The reason we did that is because we wanted to have a predictable revenue, and using a volatile asset like Kanto is difficult, you know, especially to over, like, a long mint period. We couldn't predict really what the total revenue would be from an NFT project using a volatile asset. So, it's a little different now since it's hyped and mints are going, like, in an hour, but originally, like, we just thought note would be the easiest way to do it. Hopefully that gives you an idea about what note is and what could be.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate the insights. Joseph, it looks like maybe you've got an interface up here you want to talk about as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about briefly about the NFT mania that we've been seeing this week. I'm sure everyone's been seeing what Kanto on their timeline, and most of what you can actually actively spend your money on the chain is, like, you can go to Kanto.io. Kanto.io is going to be kind of like the home base for anyone who's interested in staking. If you want a bridge, currently staked a paltry amount of 4 moons, as you can see here. But right now you can go over here to the LP interface and you can actually engage with the different types of LPs, and you can start providing in all of those different ones. Lending wise, you can head over to the lending market and there's some juicy yields. I've been in these pools for literally months now. I've been in these pools since August, just yielding and just compounding and taking all my rewards and just going to accumulate NFTs. It has just been operation NFT accumulation for me. But obviously that's not financial advice, but that's just something that's been going on. And you can actively come over here and provide. And there's other types of areas where there's like some auto compounders, Y2R, but obviously that is open source. That's code that's out there. I'm not sure if it's been audited. Definitely be wary about what you're interacting with on the chain. But if you're interested on the financial side, head on over to that Canto.io. But this is where the mania has like really hit. It's Alto.build. It's like the premier NFT marketplace on the entire chain. As you can see here, Canto Longnecks have had an insane week getting, and I'm pretty sure this volume is probably not even like fully correct.
Click on it, it's more accurate. There you go.
There's the actual accurate volume, 3.54 million Canto volume. And like in the past 8 hours.
Oh, I like
the
little cursor animation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's like this whole jazz vibe in the marketplace. You can like turn on the music and all that stuff. And it's just like a whole jazz marketplace. And they really made it about that because like the whole concept and like the vibes of the chain is about being smooth, being free, challenging the norms, challenging the different things. And jazz kind of represents that in like the music industry. And that's what jazz music was. It was a way to break away from the current standard of music. And I think that branding Alto Marketplace that way is really interesting because they are trying to spin up this like free public infra marketplace where you can go get NFTs without royalty fees, without creator fees and all that stuff. It's just NFT marketplace infrastructure just to for it to be that. And this place has just been pumping. These necks were crazy. I mean, I think the minting cost was like 150 Canto. I don't remember. And I think that was at the time when Canto was trading at like probably 15 cents, 20 cents around there. And ever since then, it's been history. Necks have kind of been determined as like the punks of the chain. They have just been killing it. A lot of NFT speculators from Ethereum who, I mean, just thinking about from their perspective, when they show up here and they see this floor price, this is paltry. There was a giant NFT whale that came from Ethereum and he started sweeping the floor and all like on like some select collections. And he tweeted out, apparently I just did 10% of the all time volume on the NFT marketplace. And it's like, yeah, like go figure. This marketplace is new, it's fresh. And when people show up to this marketplace right now, they're seeing, oh, I just got a token for 50 cents and there's all these other NFTs and they're still cheap based off of Ethereum like NFT valuations. And so there's just been this like absolute hysteria.
It's funny, like it's the inverse psychology of buying something on ETH because, oh, my NFT costs half an ETH. Like it's nothing, 0.5, it's nothing. But that's still what? $850 right now. Like, and you look at the gigantic Canto numbers, but you forget to realize it's a 50 cent token. So you're, you know, even now they're at what, like one ETH floor.
Essentially. So yeah,
the upside's crazy. And like there was a 100,000 Canto long neck sale as well, like a 27 ETH sale. So like, these are getting some serious collector attention. It's not just like a fad. I mean, DeezFi, I think, is one of the bigger NFT collectors and influencers. He's here.
Cantographs pumped. The Cantographs has been a massive one this week.
This was a wild launch. It was like a stealth mint. I think he's the guy that does a lot of the based art. So OG DeFi protocol artist. And this one was launched literally in like the Canto cult chat, Telegram chat. So the mint was like 100 Canto and it flew. I think the highest sale was like 10,000 Canto. Congrats to anybody who managed to, you know, 100x in like 4 hours. But yeah, these are probably going to be like a legendary asset. They're all, you know, unique, generative art, and they're sick. I paper handed mine and I totally regret it. But yeah, it's been fun just kind of like following along and trying to catch the latest mint. I completely missed it on like Ethereum and Solana because I'm like a DeFi guy, but it's wild. The multiples that you can, you know, spin on some NFTs that catch fire.
Power. It really is.
And like Alto is fantastic. We've been working with the team you know, for a long time since before they launched the marketplace. got to personally, you know, speak with some of the core guys like Drew and Colin. They are completely overwhelmed. I don't think any of them expected this to blow up the way it has. So they're making, you know, back-end infrastructure improvements, front-end infrastructure improvements. They're relying on, you know, a lack of good RPC nodes or endpoints. So new RPCs are coming online every day. And there's been like a plea with the technical community to run an RPC from Zach Cole. So yeah, it's all still very, very nascent, and it's improving every day. So we're early.
Yeah.
You guys mentioned earlier there's a hackathon you've got 150 people signed up for. What are the details on that? Is it still open for entry? Can Joseph and I still join if we want to?
it's still open for entry from what we can tell. It's led by Robin, who's doing an amazing job over there. But yeah, so their approach to just attracting devs is attractive rewards, great judges from the ETH community. But also what we're seeing right now is not only are they attracting organic opportunities, but we're seeing some valuable, really promising submissions as well. One of the teams that we're connecting with and discussing like a proof of concept on leveraging their tools is CPMS, which is Canto Public Messaging Service. So think of it as the ability to actually send messages to users over the chain. A specific use case for that is, let's just say you're in the proof of stake ecosystem. I don't care if you're on ETH or Cosmos or whatever other proof of stake. There is no way today from a validator like us to actually open a line of communication to the people who are delegating on our validator specifically. And in any type of business, you know, the expectation today and the norm today, which is not sufficient, is that the only way they can know and understand exactly what's happening is if they are following you on Twitter, following you on Discord. There's no way for them to actually understand what the heck is going on. So the validator's perspective is like, how do we attract delegators? How do we actually earn their trust? How do we communicate and update them on what's happening? We're pretty involved with Canto, so it'd be nice to actually send them messages of like a recap this quarter or something, right?
Right.
So Canto Public Messaging actually allows for operators like us to open a communication channel where it's kind of like a two-way street, because right now it doesn't exist. And so that has a variety of use cases, a variety of impacts. Think of it as like Twilio for blockchain. That's basically what it is. Sending specific messages, targeted messages to self-identified people that are engaged with you in a meaningful way. It could be stakers. It could be people who have NFT collection from you specifically, because there's no way for an artist to connect with a collector directly unless they, you know, go through this roundabout loop, try to find them on social. It doesn't make sense. So yeah, there's a lot of really cool opportunities. We're seeing gaming. We're definitely seeing DeFi opportunities. Somebody's doing like a GMX fork. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool applications coming. And the quality of these applications. I just saw like a private demo yesterday of somebody doing, it's like a mock up of MySpace, but the UX and UI is like a modern social app that's on chain. So I've been pushing him to submit his submission for the Canto hackathon. I think it was a killer app.
Do they use CSR inside of that? That's super interesting.
I'm pushing for it, but he's a extremely talented dev. And his branding and everything is just, it was jazzy. Let's just say this.
Nice.
Yeah. So again, we're seeing the quality. I mean, I think the first hackathon, eighth, were you the first judge or second judge? Which?
I was in season two, yeah.
Season two, yeah. So there were about, 30 maybe submissions at the time?
There were probably 10 or 12. It was,
yeah, I remembered that season. It was small. I watched every season and they were tiny.
Yeah.
They're so fun. I've never gotten into hackathons, and it's awesome to see what people can build in like
So that type of like organic attraction where they're not like, it's not like they're continuing to increase just the rewards have kind of increased, you know, pragmatically. but the level of interest and the quality of the devs and builders that are coming online, it's extremely promising for a bear market. And if the activity is yielding these types of results in these type of market conditions, it's really promising going into like a bull season.
I mean, I love the strategy of the hackathon and CSR. When you put those two things together, like it's an interesting pull strategy for getting teams to develop rather than a push strategy where you say, I have a big bucket of incentives and I'm going to go out and find a team to bring their dApp to my chain. And that's the typical business development approach from, you know, the VC back chains. It's like, we have this bucket of money and we're going to go compete against each other to get a great team to build on our chain. On Canto, it's like, it's an opt-in approach where builders are like, okay, CSR is interesting. Like if I build a cool dApp, I'm going to make money because people are going to use it with CSR. Also, if this experienced panel of judges thinks I have a cool product, I could potentially get a little bit of seed money to get myself started. And I get exposure to this awesome panel of judges who are going to tell all their friends, and they're going to put this on YouTube. So anybody who wants to watch gets a little bit of free, you know, there's a marketing or commercial for them to try out my dApp too. So it's great. And the plan for the Canto hackathons is to continue, you know, as long as possible. So I urge, you know, anybody who's been in Canto for a long time and has like an eye for DeFi or NFTs and, you know, offer yourself up to Robin as a judge. I mean, I think Boz wants to do it. It'd be great, Joseph, since you've been in here for a long time and you're fully Canto pilled. If you want to be a judge, super fun.
Yeah, dude, so I would love to be a judge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring up the tweet that Joseph has sharing there about the hackathon. And, you know, I would also just say that, you know, as someone who's participated in hackathons, if you're out there and you're like, oh, maybe I don't have the technical prowess to participate. I mean, these teams need everything. They need artists. They need someone. I don't know exactly about the Canto hackathon, but I'm sure there's like a pitch at some point. You need, you know, some business modeling, like it. Participating in hackathons, if you're out there and you're kind of like, oh, I'd love to get into crypto more than just a hobby, like kind of make it full time. These are like excellent opportunities to get involved and to grow your network. And I recognize some of the judges there from Cosmoverse and people that I've met in the space before. So, Joseph, what are we going to build in the hackathon, dude? I'm waiting on you to come up with an idea so I can get.
Dude, I don't know. I have to figure out a good use case for CSR. I think CSR is very powerful. I think some really interesting dApps will get developed on Canto. I mean, that's the fruition of my thesis for why I entered in Canto back in August. It was just the potential of CSR. And I saw the value of the chain. I saw that it was IBC. I saw it was EVM. I saw that Evmos was just kind of slowly dying out. Obviously, that does not represent like any kind of companies I'm with opinions, but that's just the fact of like my actual interpretation of how the ecosystem was developing. CSR going to be huge potential. I need to figure out a good dApp to build with CSR. I wish I knew how to build a perpetuals exchange because I definitely would have hopped on that immediately.
Let's do it. We'll do it. Me and you.
All right, let's do it. We'll build the perps. We'll build the perps platform.
Forex. Yeah.
There's someone that's already starting ahead of us, so we gotta catch up. I'm already keeping an eye.
We'll make
on
it better. Those. We'll be the second to market. That's always better.
Yeah, there you go. Second to market. All right.
So, gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us here today. We are gonna cut you loose here. I guess I have just one more kind of follow up question for you both, if you don't mind. And my question is, what do you see for kind of like the future of Cantos? In the near term, I guess for the rest of this year, and then beyond, as sort of we cycle hopefully out of this awful bear winter and into kind of the next bull run. Where do you want Canto to be positioned as kind of that momentum picks back up?
I'll start. I think Boz kind of teased a little bit about what we want to do as validators, but I'm writing a second piece. Like a part two for my Canto investment thesis right now. So I wrote something in October that kind of gave a snapshot of where things are and where they could go. I wanted to update that with, like, you know, where we're at today and where we could be going later this year. What's most interesting, I think Joseph hit it, the CSR enabled dApps is going to be great to see some results from. I want to see some important, like, shared resources around blockchain indexing, so like the graph, blockchain explorer improvements. We want to see the Kanto explorer stay up, and more RPCs, a good oracle. And what's super exciting is the B Harvest team, you know, they're OG Cosmos contributors to different code stacks. They're working in the background quietly on a big initiative that, you know, they essentially got money from the core Kanto DAO to do. And the biggest thing that I'm interested in is liquid staking. So as a validator, you know, we want people to stake. We want the chain to be secure. We want to make money. And that's the business we run. So that's really what I'm looking forward to this year. Boz, I don't know if you had any more
thoughts. Yeah, I think midterm, just to wrap it up, I know you guys are short on time. Midterm would probably be liquid staking derivatives. I think the narrative around that from the general market is fairly exciting. Outside of that, long term, I'd love to see real world assets being tokenized on Kanto. I think that would be an extremely powerful use case that could be fused with CSR. I don't know what that would yield, but I think it's interesting enough to understand exactly what kind of output that, you know, what kind of value you could generate with real world assets related to a chain that is not only EVM compatible, but also IBC compatible. So it's kind of sitting at this intersection where all the right ingredients are there. It just requires somebody to mix it all up and introduce it to these communities.
It looks like Earshut in the comments is saying, I'm looking forward to CID. Anybody want to fill me in on what that three-letter acronym means?
It's the primitive that Scott has been teasing around. I think it's private decentralized identification, you know, so Kanto ID. I don't know a lot about it yet. So yeah, maybe Pooji can be your next guest.
That's some alpha drop right there. That's interesting. I'm gonna have to look into that now.
I think they've submitted code for audit. So it's like, it's got some momentum.
I know that Scott's working on the LSD derivative with B Harvest, and they've been working on it for a while, and it's supposed to become, like, the interesting thing for me is that it's free public infra for a liquid staking, like, infrastructure for the chain. That's super interesting. I don't think anyone has tried to make a public goods model for liquid staking derivatives. Super unique approach.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we're good.
Back to DeGen NFT stuff, right?
we'll just keep looking at different mints.
Where do the folks need to go to stake to you fine gentlemen?
Yeah, just go to Kanto's site, right? Kanto.io, and we go to the staking sidebar, and then go to Four Moons, and I think we're in the top 10 now.
Oh no, you guys have fallen! No,
we had a. I mean, I think somewhere out there is claiming profits or something.
That no, that's unfortunate. All right, you guys are in the top four.
Some major oil, but it's okay. This is the
we're for the people. So we want the small stakers to come on in. Yeah.
I mean, I have my small little stack in there. That's my Valhalla bag. It's in there.
We appreciate you, brother.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys. We appreciate you so much for joining us. Learned a lot, interested in Kanto. Hopefully Joseph tells me more about these free mints before I miss the bus on a couple of these. So
sorry, man. You got to act quick on them. It just happens.
Yeah. We're going to build some cool shit for the hackathon. And if you're interested, go out, delegate to these guys. They're doing a great job for Kanto. The website's kanto.io. The validator is Four Moons. Is that correct?
That's right.
Four moons. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. We're going to kick you from the stream now. Joseph, right. Do we have a flip side insight of the week?
Negative. I could not. I did not source a dashboard. We ran low on Cosmos dashboards. We're still waiting for stuff to happen in Cosmos so we can do more analysis.
Okay. Well, then the next thing we're going to talk about is redacted. Unless you have any follow up stuff you want to talk about.
No, dude. I think I've Cantoed introduced everyone in the audience. So if you guys are interested in Canto and interested in more Canto content, please drop it in the comments. I will be more than
Tiger Mind has a question for you.
Oh, really? Is it possible to provide this links on Canto and CSR for new guys like me? Yeah, sure thing. I will drop that link right now. Evan, go for it. What's redacted? What's going on here? Interchain privacy? What's that?
Well, let's just talk at a very high level about the importance of privacy. Of course, every single transaction you make, Joseph, I don't know if you knew this, but it's logged somewhere publicly on a ledger. If you are using a blockchain of any sort, it all started back in the day with Bitcoin. Of course, we try to free ourselves from this control of the regime.
Interesting.
And we did so somewhat successfully. However, it's not great to have every single transaction you make, you know, once someone can deduce your identity to go ahead and look at every single thing you do. And, you know, they know your net worth. You become more of a target. Yeah. They know what you're spending on. They know who you're sending money to. It's not good, right? So you need privacy. So redacted, first of all, they're still launching their revenue sharing. All revenue will be split 50-50 between Ronin NFTs and Red, which is their native token, and then distributed. So they just came out with this pretty recently. Steph, I actually need to do a screen share as well, but I'm not even in the chat. So I'm going to send this to Joseph instead and make him screen share.
Oh, boy. Love it. All right, bet. Send it over to me.
Oh, I sent it to you twice.
Where'd you send it to me? On Telegram?
Yes, on Telegram.
Okay. All right. Pulling it up. Okay. Share screen. All righty. Redacted has
directly entered a partnership with TFL. As a basis, we will use TFL's dApps, and they're going to use Enterprise. Joseph, you remember Enterprise from a couple weeks ago when we made what's our DAO called?
It was like Bumpkin DAO.
Blumpkin folk.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, which is still going strong. So this will be another example. I'm actually kind of excited because I think we're going to see, like, we talked with White Whale last week. We see Redacted this week. Jared has some news that hopefully we'll talk to about with him next week on Alliance. But we're going to see a lot of these protocols come out and start to, like, put these tools to use, right? We've heard about them for the last, I don't know what you want to call it, 4 or 5 months. But now we're going to actually see real protocols start to launch. So I'm very excited to see Enterprise. I think Enterprise, it's just another one of those, like, super simple, easy to use things that, like, gives me nostalgia from, like, the first time I used Station, right? It's super easy. So Redacted is going to be one of the ones to kind of, like, launch officially with them. And sorry, I'm just going to read this for the people that only listen on audio. So they'll be ready early February 2023, which is, like, right now. So we, and especially you, have the assurance that all funds as well as proposals are safe thanks to an audit of all contracts used directly by TFL. We will then send any revenue from Redacted directly to the Red/Ronin treasuries via Warp, so it can be distributed directly to you. Completely autonomous, so we give up any power over the two treasuries. Redacted DAO is born. And you know, we're looking at Q3 2023. We plan to deliver an interchain privacy solution that is going to provide a use case for people using all sorts of chains being routed through Terra and thereby driving volume. So I think, you know, the main case here is that they're going to use sort of these infrastructure things that have been built on top of Terra, and things will be routed through Terra in order to create sort of this privacy wall where, you know, you can't track the transactions anymore. I think that's a great use case overall. I think privacy is important. You know, I've been a huge fan of Secret Network for a while, but it'll be interesting to see how Redacted will basically perform two two public goods, in my opinion. One, gives people privacy on their transactions, but two, you know, if it's an easy solution to, hey, let's say I want to send from one chain to another, or even, you know, within one chain, a certain asset, I can route it through Redacted, which is creating volume on the Luna version 2 chain, which is creating more volume for the chain. At the end of the day, that's kind of the goal. And I'm like losing my voice all of a sudden. Hopefully you can, as you can tell, maybe. So Joseph, what's your feedback and thoughts on this?
That's super interesting. I know you're a big privacy guy. I mean, I know you're a bull on Bitcoin. So, I mean, you have to kind of be a little bit of a, on the privacy side of stuff if you're a bull on Bitcoin. So this is going to, okay. So for me, I've always been really confused with the different approaches to privacy that we've seen in blockchain thus far. I know that we've seen a secret network. Secret network has been kind of the most like cutting edge on like a secret level blockchain. But I really just haven't like had the time to dig deep into why secret is that bull narrative there. I guess what I'm curious about is how is this powerful for people in the interchain? Is this actually providing value to other chains, or is it just kind of providing value to the individual that's in, like wanting to transact on all these different chains? Do you know that?
Right. Well, I think that the model here is if you want privacy, you don't need to, it's not like you're necessarily interacting. I mean, you are interacting with Terra, but you basically just route through Terra and use a tool, like a quick sort of puddle jump in order to use a tool to make your transaction private. Right.
Okay.
This is interesting here. I'm going to read this quick. I actually need to do a little bit more research about this. I apologize, but this is from the Redacted roadmap. In August 2022, the Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, imposed sanctions on wallet and smart contract addresses associated with Tornado Cash. Remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Citing concerns that the service was being used to launder billions of dollars. Because, of course, you know, we need the Office of Foreign Assets Control and four-letter and three-letter agencies to tell us we can't do things digitally. Thank you, overlords, for keeping us safe. We love when you keep us safe. This raised concerns about the security and trustworthiness of all privacy dApps and highlighted the need for additional measures to prevent bad actors from using it for illegal purposes. That is where the proof of innocence protocol comes in. So this is interesting because this is very nuanced from what I can tell. Because you've got, you know, your typical Wasabi or Tornado mixers, and you need to be OFAC compliant, which we see since Ethereum has moved to proof of stake. There's been some rabble rousing about, you know, OFAC compliant blocks and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
So Redacted has come up with this proof of innocence protocol. This innovative tool builds upon the existing capabilities of Redacted and allows users to prove that their deposits are not from sanctioned or blacklisted addresses. By providing this proof, users can show that they are not hackers or other bad actors and can make withdrawals from Redacted with confidence. So now I think, you know, whenever you use Tornado, whether you're a good actor or, you know, here's the thing. Here's the problem with Tornado. I am a super villain committing a genocide and I just stole everybody's money and I put, you know, $10 billion in Tornado Cash. You, Joseph, are just trying to buy a cup of coffee without your ex-girlfriend, you know, tracking you down to I don't know, do whatever wild things your ex-girlfriend wants to do.
Yeah.
Put $10 in or $5 in Tornado. Well, we're both kind of lumped into the same thing where now with like OFAC compliance, they're like, doesn't matter where it came from, doesn't matter what you did. It's, you know, you're all lumped into basically this criminal category. So this proof of innocence, it adds an additional layer to this process by allowing users to prove that their commitment is not in a given list of commitments. This helps to ensure that the user is not a hacker or other bad actor who has been sanctioned or flagged for illegal activities. Did I read that already?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you did. You did. That's super interesting.
To create this proof, the user provides the blacklisted commitments and constructs a sparse Merkle tree of this blacklist. This allows the user to easily and efficiently prove that their commitment is not in the blacklist. This proof can then be verified by anybody. And here's the proof of innocence protocol from Redacted. So this is actually pretty interesting. I'm excited to see how this works. You know, if you can basically be private, but prove that you're not, you know, this mass serial killer villain who stole everybody's money. I think that's pretty important. I think that's a good thing for people, don't you think, Joseph?
No, yeah, 100%. I do agree. I think it's really interesting that they kind of route it. It just depends on how they're routing it. And it shows you here that they basically store the execution list to IPFS, and then they provide that the deposit is not included in the exclusion list. So they basically verify an IPFS if you're on that exclusion list or if you've interacted with the exclusion list, I guess. And that way they can actually spot stuff if it's like a hacker or if you're a evil person and you started doing a genocide, like in your example. This is really interesting.
You just get started. Get started on the genocide. You're an evil person. You get started. Yes.
You get started on the genocide.
It has to start somewhere. Boz in the comments asks, is there documentation in this I can read on? Yes.
Yeah,
I just sent it to Joseph. So Joseph is going to drop the link. It is docs.redacted.money.
There we go. Dropping it in the chat right now. Boz is he's a Cosmos guy. He enjoys that. He enjoys the Cosmos stuff of the world. It's interesting because Boz and Adam come from two different types of the blockchain community. They're both like, Adam's the ETH guy and then Boz is like the Cosmos guy. And I think that this interchain security thing, this is really interesting because I think what Terra is positioning itself, and I think it's pretty clear now with Alliance, with Enterprise DAO, and also with Station, they're trying to position themselves to be this one-stop shop for the interchain blockchain user. If you care about privacy, you don't have to go to just one blockchain that focuses on privacy. You can right. use all of them. If you care about interacting with deep liquidity and you want to be a deep liquidity provider, you can access Osmosis liquidity pools. It's really interesting to see that this is how they're positioning themselves to advance in the interchain.
Yeah. And if you want to spin up a DAO, there's an easy place to do it, right?
Yeah, an easy place to do it. You can even spin up a DAO that's as pointless as Bumkinfolk DAO.
Bumkinfolk is one of the most important DAOs that's ever come out. I want to mention something before we wrap up here because we're coming up on an hour. Joseph, you have some new decorations behind you. What is all that stuff?
Oh, what decorations? What is all
that junk you got behind you?
We're talking about the decorations. Which one? Which one are you interested in?
It's maybe some flowers hanging down, and then is that a soccer ball that says Chile?
Yeah,
on it?
That's a soccer ball. So this is a Chilean soccer ball. I bought it when I was studying abroad in Chile. My parents are from Chile, but I was born in the States. So basically just went over there. My parents taught me how to speak Spanish and everything. Got to learn the culture. So I'm a huge Chile fan, but we did not make the World Cup because we suck. We did great in a couple of Latin American Copa Americas, but we did not do anything to even qualify this time around. Our team was terrible. What's up?
Did you? I assume you watched the World Cup final.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. It was
a pretty wild match, right?
Yeah. It was Argentina won. I know. I'm disappointed. We beat them in the final cup of Copa America a few years ago. And it was really nice. It was entertaining. But then we proceeded to not even make it to the World Cup. It was very disappointing.
Well, America is a perennial. Well, what would be the word for every 4 years? Quadro perennial disappointment in that tournament. So
yeah, I think America's got some good future in of itself for soccer. There's a lot of money going into that into the soccer industry here in MLS. I think at some point in time the U.S. could start competing. It'd be interesting.
All right, one more sports question for you. Who do you like in the Super Bowl? I mean, we'll be able to talk about it again next week. But
honestly, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm an Eagles fan.
Steph, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
I don't want either to win, but if one were to win, I would want the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, same. I'm in the same exact boat. I'm just not a KC fan. Ever since
Eagles fly. I don't even know the song. Yeah. All right. That's it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for watching live. If you watched live and commented, we appreciate you. We'll also be back next week. I think we're going to do two shows next week. Joseph, do you want to tell the people two shows?
It depends on if you're willing to commit to it, because he just fades all my Telegram messages about committing to stuff. Next week we potentially have Jared from TFL joining us, bringing in some sneak peeks of stuff that they are working on. Something may or may not be going live next week, so definitely be tuned in for that. But next week I also have the CEO of Injective, Eric Chen. Injective's been performing really well this past week. I think the token's up like 25% last I checked. Injective's an interesting little blockchain that's kind of spinning up. They just announced like $150 million DeFi fund so that they can start funding projects or ecosystem fund. So Injective's really starting to kick up. And I know there's a lot of Terra people that have kind of like migrated over to Injective, and they like what Injective's bringing to the blockchain space. So have some really great guests coming up next week, and be on the lookout for two live streams. One will probably happen on Thursday and the other one will probably happen on Friday if we can make it work out.
All right, Joseph, take us out. I have to pee.
All right. Thank you everyone for watching. This has been Bytes Digital. Evan is going to the bathroom. Hope to see you guys next week.